Welcome to this week's Life-Giving Water Message, where we take the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. This week's message is actually going to be part one of a six-week study on the Apostles' Creed, loosely based on Adam Hamilton's book, Creed, What Christians Believe and Why. Today's message title is I Believe God, and it is based on Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, and Psalms chapter 90, verses 1 through 5. Let us hear what it says here in Exodus. But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Amen. And now from Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 through 5. "Lord, through all the generations you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.' For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning." Amen. We live in a world that loves concrete evidence. If we can see it, taste it, touch it, smell it, hear it, it must be reality. For some, ultimate reality is based on the five senses and the physical material evidence they can collect to prove that what they believe is a fact. And if it is a fact, they deduce, it must be the truth. Over the next 6 weeks throughout Lent, we will be exploring the Apostles' Creed, what Christians believe and why they believe it. The word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. Thus, a creed is a summary of the essential beliefs of the Christian church, which was put together by some of the earliest Christians. Now, the Apostles' Creed, as we currently have it, came to be in the 5th century, the 400s CE. But in its earliest form, it predated the establishment of the Roman Catholic Church, and it is possibly as old as the 2nd or 3rd century, the 100s or 200s CE. The word belief, unfortunately, gets seen as mental assent in our modern world. It's kind of like, I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Or, I believe that this year is going to be better than last year. Or, I believe that the Giants have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl next year. Well, kinda, sort of, we can hope. But the word belief, unfortunately, gets seen as mental assent. However, credo is not about mere mental assent, but about deeply held convictions that spark us to action, sacrifice, and service. But let us get back to where we started. Belief in God does not require nor call for evidence or proof. Now let me repeat that. Belief in God does not require nor call for evidence or proof. There is no evidence that I can provide that will convince most atheists to believe in God. If they've made up their minds and hearts to believe in no God at all, there is absolutely nothing I can do to change that. Now make no mistake, belief in no God is belief all the same. A conviction that can and often does spark action, sacrifice, and service to eliminate religious belief. And there are many anti-theists out there whose sole purpose is to eliminate religious belief. A conviction that they hold so deeply that it can and often does spark them to convert others to atheism, which is really ironic because that sounds awfully religious, does it not? To convert other people to your convictions, to your beliefs. Conversely, there is no evidence an atheist can provide that will convince most Christians, myself included, to give up their belief in God. I want you to make note of this, because oftentimes, in particular, anti-theists and atheists will try to say that belief is the antithesis of knowledge. That in order to believe and have faith in something, you must do so at the expense of the evidence that surrounds you. So no matter what the evidence says, I'm going to believe in this anyway because I believe. But I want you to make note of this. Belief is not the antithesis of knowledge, but the doorway to it. Think about this. It took belief to get people to discover the truth of bacteria. The fact that the earth was round. The truth that the earth orbits around the sun, etc. First, people believe in something. Then, because of their beliefs, they're sparked into action to study it, to investigate it, to find the reality in it, until they do so or they don't. So the idea that belief is the antithesis of knowledge is just not a fact. It's not true. Belief often leads to knowledge. Belief is the doorway to attaining knowledge. In our scripture today, Moses is not given proof, nor is he given evidence to support his convictions that God is calling him back to Egypt. Rather, Moses is given assurance for his conviction, I am that I am. Or, I will be what I will be. In Hebrew, that phrase, I am that I am, also can get translated to, I will be what I will be. It is an active verb and an active descriptor, one that can be translated either way and understood either way. I, who was the same yesterday that I am now and will be forever, am God. And I am with you. Now, Moses could have rejected that belief, which would have led him away from witnessing the ultimate reality in God's I am statement. It's not hard to picture that Moses could have rejected God's plea to go back to Egypt. Let's not forget that Moses had murdered somebody in Egypt and had fled as a fugitive, ran away from Pharaoh and the wrath of Pharaoh and from Egypt, and went out into the wilderness and got married and became a shepherd. And it is not hard to fathom that Moses would say no. Thanks, but no thanks. I mean, what was Moses going to say? What was Moses going to do before Pharaoh? Hi, Pharaoh. You remember me, Moses. We were kind of like, you know, brothers at one time. And you remember how, anyway, long story short, I was out in the wilderness tending sheep when a flaming bush told me to come back here and tell you that you're to let your entire slave labor force go, so that we can all go worship on some rocky mountain in the wilderness. Like, that's gonna fly. I mean, think about it. That, to most people, would be the most insane, ridiculous thing to do. And it wouldn't be outside of the realm of not even possibility, but probability, that Moses could have rejected that. But instead, Moses chose to believe and became convicted to act, to sacrifice greatly, and to serve. Instead of saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, God. I've got things to do, sheep to tend, a wife to spend time with. Thank you, but go find somebody else. Instead of doing that, Moses believed. Sure, there was a give and take, but over time, in that conversation with God, Moses came to the point of belief. And that belief convicted him to act, to sacrifice, and to serve. Today, my brothers and sisters, you are being faced with this same challenge, to believe in the great I am. You see, God doesn't give us proof. God doesn't give us evidence of God's existence, but God gives us assurance. God didn't give Moses proof of who God was or that God was, but gave Moses assurance that God was, that God is, that God will always be. So you are being faced with the same challenge to believe in the great I am, to believe to the point of action, sacrifice, and service. Not to just mentally believe and then live your life as if you don't, but to believe to the point where it transforms the very being within you, that it transforms you from who you are to who God created you to be. To believe that God is your creator, your home, your refuge. Do you believe? If so, let Lent be a time where you acknowledge your belief and be sparked into action, sacrifice, and service. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, the great I am, we thank you and praise you for your presence with us. We thank you and praise you for loving us and creating us and being with us. We thank you and praise you for your assurance that you are God, that you are, and that you always will be, just as you surely always have been. We thank you for calling us, inviting us to be a part of who you are and to be a part of what you are doing in this world for the transformation of the world. Spark in us action, sacrifice, and spark us into service of all people so that they may know that you are with them, and that you love them. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And so I thank you for joining us this week and exploring the first part of the Apostles' Creed, this discussion on God and on belief in God. And just can't wait for you to join us again next week, where we'll be discussing the second part of the Creed, which is belief in Jesus Christ. Until then, so long, and may the Lord and the peace of the Lord be with you. God bless.